cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Sounds a whole lot better. We were having technical problems on Friday, and I think we've ironed them out. So we've got everything working this morning. I've got Leanne on the line. I've got Sia on the line. Everything's looking good.
Good morning,
you two. Yeah, it is Wednesday, and Sia is in Debeni at the moment, and Leanne is in her house. Which cat will pass by the microphone today, Leanne? That's the question everybody wants to know the answer to. No, we can't hear you.
Oh, Leanne.
She's going to go.
Your days are so stuffed around.
What do you mean?
Today's Monday. You said it was a Wednesday.
Did I say Wednesday? Oh, Jesus. You're joking, yes. Right? Oh, my God. You see, but this is because... I'll tell you why this
we
is.
We were here on Friday. You weren't here on Friday.
Yeah, we had
technical issues last week, Wednesday.
See, I've messed it all up. Sorry. We'll start again. My brain is fried. It's because I had a relaxing weekend, and I had a great time in Durban. I was down there and saw lots of people I wasn't expecting to see who were all down there from Joburg. But I spent the whole day yesterday driving. The whole day. The traffic was insane. Hey, Ask, can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Okay, there she is.
There we go.
Okay. So I drove back from Durban yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to take, what, 4, 5, 6 hours maybe. Anywhere between 4.5 and 6 hours, depending.
Right.
There's so much traffic, obviously, because all the people who went down for the long weekend, and it was the first long weekend since lockdown ended.
Mm-hmm.
Or since lockdown was eased and we could travel. So everybody was on the roads. It was chaos. I mean, just waiting for the toll gates took like 20, 25 minutes of time.
Oh, my word.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I didn't get grumpy or anything, and it was pleasant. But eventually, like to miss some of the traffic in Joburg, I took a detour and went like through Funderbale Park or whatever. And it was already dark by this stage. It was like, you know, I got home at 8 o'clock, so it was heavy.
What time
heavy
did you
going.
Leave, Durban?
I left at 11, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
9 hours.
9 hours of traveling. Not good.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it was a long trip, but it was worth it. So that's why when I went to sleep last night, and man, could I wait to get into bed last night. Oh. Felt good, and then I woke up this morning and my head's still a bit scrambled from that long drive. But what a weekend. I hope you had a good one. And if you managed to get away, I hope it wasn't too exhausting having to, you know, deal with every other South African on the roads, because that's what it felt like yesterday.
But it's kind of a celebration, and that's probably why you also didn't get that annoyed.
Right.
It's just you understand that everybody wants to do it, and it's exciting.
So what did I miss on Friday?
What did you miss on Friday? Now I have to think back. Oh, no, Leanne Bulela and I, we covered the show.
Uh-huh.
We spoke about all of the things that you aren't interested in speaking about.
Like what? Now you've got my curiosity piqued. I mean, I thought we had great shows when I'm around, but clearly I'm missing out. So what did you three Muppets talk about?
We were Muppeting about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, no, the one thing you would have been interested in was we spoke about polyamory.
Ooh.
Yes. Mm.
Oh, hang on. I saw a little Instagram video of that.
Yes.
Sounded very good.
And Sia was quite horrified at the idea, and he didn't change until the end.
And then,
no, he still didn't change all the way.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I didn't know there were polyamorous amongst us, Gareth. Yeah.
Like Leanne
and like Mbulelo.
Okay. Oh, is Mbulelo a polyamorist? Okay, you see.
You learn something new every day.
These are things I didn't. All right, Leanne, I found a Lobola calculator. So someone sent this to us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It actually came from, let me give credit where it's due. This comes from Alan. So he found a calculator that can actually work out your value for Lobola. All right, you ready?
Gosh. Are there any half cows available?
This is designed after 157 hours of consultations, 45 meetings, and over 100 elders pitching in with their ideas. All right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What is your highest level of education? Below matric, matric, diploma, degree, or above degree?
Degree.
Ooh. Okay, are you a virgin? No.
Ooh.
How many children do you have?
You quickly answered that one.
None.
All right. Next one. How many boyfriends have you had in the past?
Whoa, like of all time?
Well, okay, 0 to 5, 6 to 10, 10 to 15, or 16 or more.
That's tricky. Boyfriends are different to one-night
stands. No, it's just boyfriends. What would you say?
0 to 5.
0 to 5, okay.
Yeah.
Have you been married before? Yes or no? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What is your current employment status? Job, career-driven, unemployed, business owner, or student?
Business owner.
Right. I'm sensing quite an expensive lobola here. All right. Do you own a car?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, so far.
Do you own a house?
Yes.
Can you cook?
Yes.
Okay. You can cook and you love it, or I can cook, but I'm lazy to?
Well, considering that it's going to be cooking for me and someone else, then I love it.
Okay, great. Ooh, this is going to be good. We're figuring out Leanne's lobola price here, by the way. Rate your performance in the bedroom. It's not my thing. I can do the basics. I'm good. I make him scream, or I'm dangerous in Ngozi.
I make him scream.
Ooh, Leanne.
Wait, and there are people who say it's not my thing.
Yeah,
nah.
Yeah. Are you a socialite? Utanda izinto.
You're a like of things.
Angifun.
Okay, no. Are you from a royal family?
No.
Okay, here it is. Are you planning to be a housewife if you get married?
Ooh, if he's got the money, yeah.
I thought so. Do you make more money than your boyfriend? I mean, just imagine there's this imaginary boyfriend. You don't want to make more money than him, right?
No, he needs to make more.
Okay. Are you going to ask for hair money? Imali ikanda. Yes, you are. Okay. Do you drink? No, I'm a light occasional drinker, or I get sloshed in ngiyabuka. We know which one, huh? Okay. Here's your quote, Leanne. We figured it out. You scored 36 points. Inform your boyfriend to start budgeting about 30,000 rand if he wants to put a ring on that finger.
Sure, I feel shortchanged.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 kettles. That's your worth.
I don't know. What do you think, Sia? I think I've been
in the greater scheme of things, that's not a lot of money.
No, but they're saying your lobola negotiations should start from 30,000 rand. So starting point is 30.
Ish. From what I've heard and from the one and only lobola negotiations that I've been part of, you need to start off high and possibly negotiate down.
Oh, okay. Well,
yes, I'd peg Leanne higher.
All right. Well,
so what do you think I'm worth then?
oof, that's tricky.
I mean, this question is more loaded than me saying, does my bum look fat in this?
Yeah. What do you think I'm worth?
No. I'd peg you at 70K.
Wow.
Thank you.
All right.
That's an opener negotiation. Peg you at 70K.
All right. If you want to go work out your own lobola value, then you can go to lobolo.co.za. lobolo.co.za.
Look,
and is this thing legit?
Yeah.
Oh my word! I think I'd rather have them meet me, and they can pick up on my shining personality, and all those sorts of things.
Listen, this is a good place to start. All of that's very nice, Leanne, but you got to start somewhere with the money.
I suppose.
It's twisted to bring up like this, but my cousin is in the process of planning his own lobola, and he doesn't have any male siblings. So I thought, oh my gosh, like, don't you want me to be
negotiate?
To be part of your crew? Like, I'd be honored. And he looked at me very seriously, goes, "Sia, you've only been in one Lobola negotiation, and how did that turn out?" Because my sister broke off her engagement.
So in other words, you screwed up.
So he goes, "Don't touch it. No, thank you."
Oh, man.
So you get engaged first, and then Lobola's decided.
Well, in the Zulu culture, from what I know, it's not even an engagement is an afterthought, or you do it if it even means anything to you. Lobola is first, and it's even just the letter to a woman's family to say, "I am so-and-so from this family, and we are very serious in wanting to establish relations with your family." And then you explain who this man is and when he saw your daughter and when you want to come to the house as well.
Mm. So it was Heritage Day last Thursday, and I think this is what maybe got Alan sending us the Lobola calculator. Although we were trying to figure this out. Remember, we also tried to put a price on Mabale once.
Yes,
when she was on the show. We thought it was hilarious. She was very unimpressed. But there it is. So if you want to go and figure that out, Lobolo, L-O-B, Lobolo, O-L-O, .co.za. Go and take a look. So, all right. Lots of stuff to get into this morning. It's a brand new week. I see there was an earthquake in Cape Town, or did I read that wrong?
Yes,
it got everyone in a fizz and a tizz.
But, I mean, 2020 really is delivering all of the shocks and surprises. I thought we were pretty much earthquake-proof in South Africa. We haven't ever had serious earthquakes. Was anyone hurt? Was there any serious damage done?
Well, the thing is, we mentioned this just, I think, a week ago, saying how lucky we are that we're in an earthquake-free country.
Right.
But apparently, okay, so firstly, there was an earthquake and there have been aftershocks as well.
Jesus.
Tremors, earthquakes, and shocks.
Yeah.
Volatile seismic activity in Cape Town the whole weekend, well, between Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And now attention is turned to this significant fault line in the area.
Wow.
So it's... Unfortunately, Eskom has built a power plant on this fault line.
Oh, no. Is it a nuclear one?
A nuclear power plant.
Oh, that's great. Right. Okay.
Coburg.
This is just waiting. This is a script waiting to be written. It's like one of those bad B-grade movies, you know, where they have terrible CGI and like really low-budget actors.
So, can someone else, apart from Eskom, confirm that? Because they might just be using this as a mere excuse.
No, I only have confirmation from one source.
That's a little too convenient.
So right. Everything rests, the whole mother city rests upon the Milnerton fault line.
Yeah.
So it runs from offshore along the west coast, right past Coburg, through Milnerton and into the Cape Flats, the poor Cape Flats.
Oh, Jesus. Haven't the Cape Flats, they suffered enough? I mean, really.
And so three significant earthquakes in history have hit Cape Town due to this fault, including a 6.5 monster in 1809.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, do you remember it like it was yesterday, Gareth?
Yeah, you know, I was a spring chicken then.
Ah.
1809, wow. Okay.
So now the Coburg facility is on top of this.
Oh.
However, the robustness of the plant means that small tremors, like the ones experienced this weekend, have no effect.
Well, that's a relief. But no one was hurt or anything during this earthquake, right?
No.
It's not one of those ones like you would see.
It was a 6.2 magnitude earthquake.
Sure. That's not tiny, you know.
Mm.
Obviously.
But also need to remember as well that the city of Cape Town is also affected by the meeting of the African plate and the Antarctic plate.
Sure.
And that's exactly where the earthquake occurred.
Accord.
Well, I wanted to say was recorded as well.
So we don't have any of that in Joburg, right? I mean, I hate to just make it all about us again, but I'm sorry, Cape Town, but that's your shit to deal with.
We have pretty big tremors and seismic activity.
Well, we have lots of...
We don't have
we have lots of mines and tunnels underground, and like the whole of Joburg, someone once explained to me, it's like a honeycomb underneath. Oh. Because the whole place has been mined, you know, for gold.
That's
not reassuring.
No. And apparently some of these places collapse and these tunnels fall down, and that's when you get those, you know, those feelings, those sort of tremors that you get in Joburg.
It's
scary.
So, like, my heart literally stops, and I just immediately think I need to gather up the cats and run outside, but I'm still going to die.
Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if the whole of Hillbrow just fell into the earth?
Oh, my word.
No.
That's horrible, Gareth.
What makes you think that would be great?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's Hillbrow. It's really just prostitutes and drug dealers. And it would be a hell of a thing to see. I mean, like, imagine you were standing at a safe distance. You could just see that whole part of Joburg just be swallowed up.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
What are you meant to do again in a tremor earthquake?
You must stand in a doorway.
In a doorway or even better, outside. The shit doesn't fall on
outside?
Your head.
Yeah, you don't want stuff falling on your head, like from construction.
So are you meant to be under a table?
Yeah, if you can't make it outside, if you're in a building and you're not going to make it outside, then go under a table.
Something sturdy.
Okay.
But usually a doorway is the right place to be. Anyway, I'm sorry, Cape Town. I wasn't aware of the fact that you lived in such a dangerous place if you lived in Cape Town. But there we go.
They're still happy to have the ocean and the mountain.
I'm so excited. This week, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are going to debate each other.
Oh, and that excites you?
Yeah, I'm going to have a party. I'm going to actually invite some people around and we'll watch it together. What time is it on Tuesday? It's tomorrow.
I'm not saying I'm not excited by it, but I'm more like I'm scared of the awkwardness.
I'm worried for Biden because I think it's very, very unfair that he has to, in his condition, that he has to go and stand on a stage with Donald Trump. I mean, the guy's just not there, you know?
Now, Gareth, what is his condition exactly? Yeah.
Well, he's senile. He's totally senile. There's no other way to put it. No, Trump's not senile. He's certainly a little bit mad, but not senile.
So it's Tuesday night, which means we'll wake up to it on Wednesday evening.
Okay. Yeah.
Wednesday morning, sorry.
Unless you tend to sleep during the day and wake up.
No, then I can't have a party. I was going to have people around and we were going to watch it and play a drinking game and all that kind of thing, but that's not going to work if it's Wednesday morning. Damn.
I'll find the time, I need to know.
That's going to be great. I mean, what entertainment, really. Just so much fun. So that'll be cool to watch. And
so what's supposed to come out of this debate?
Well, I think it's just going to be marvelously entertaining because those two are, it's really like watching, you talk about the Muppets. You know those two old men from the Muppets?
Yes.
Ones who go to the theater and then they sit and complain to each other and they don't really hear what the other one is saying. And
yes.
It's going to be like that. That's what I think.
Oh, man.
Yeah, very hectic.
Okay, yeah, sorry. It is scheduled for 9 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, which will be 3 a.m. to 4:30 a.m. African time.
No, then I'm going to have to record it. Oh, it's going. I wish it was live here. I would watch that. I'd be so thrilled.
You know, I'm just looking at a comparison, a face-by-face comparison of President Trump and Joe Biden. Well, face-to-face, side-by-side. There we go.
Yes, side-by-side.
It's a Monday. I'm waking up.
Sure. And how?
Okay. Comparison of President Trump and Joe Biden. We already know that President Trump doesn't have the greatest looks going for him.
No.
But dare I say, even just that orange tint helps him when compared to Biden.
Well, you see, we know Donald's orange.
Really old.
We know Donald's orange, and he has that white stuff around his eyes. I don't know what that is. It's almost like clown makeup.
It's because he has hyperpigmentation.
Oh, okay.
On the whole of his face, except for his eyes, probably because of the use of sunglasses and then also the little goggles in tanning booths.
Anyway, so that's very funny. So he looks quite bizarre, and then he's got that very bizarre hair, right? Mm. But let me tell you, I mean, I watched a video of The Rock yesterday.
Yes, he's now come out in support of Biden.
Yeah, he's endorsing Biden and Kamala Harris, right? and the two of them are like doing this video with The Rock, but Joe looks totally and he's just not paying it. His mind is not there. It's an empty vessel.
How did it happen that there wasn't a better candidate then?
Well, let's see the here's the problem. And I'm going to make this as short and sweet as possible. So the Democrats are trying really hard to not look crazy, even though they're crazy, because the people who are making the decisions and the people who are driving policy in the Democratic Party are far left lunatics. And what they've tried to do by bringing in Joe is they're trying to show that they're not, you know, it's going to be a return to the old and the stability of the Obama years and all that stuff. But the reality is, like, Joe is not aware of his surroundings. He doesn't know where he is half the time. He gets confused. He gets disorientated. I mean, this could just be old age, but I think there's actually some kind of senility going on. And then Kamala Harris will come in and she'll take over. And she's the most far-left senator in the U.S. Senate at the moment. So Joe is like he's like the sheep that makes everybody think, oh, this is very safe. But then underneath that sheep's clothing is the wolf that is Kamala Harris. So she's going to take things in a very dangerous direction. So really, they're playing a game with the electorate. Anyway, there are lots of people who think that's still better than Trump. I don't understand who, because under Donald Trump, America has not got worse. It's got better. The whole world suffered from this COVID thing. But before that, America was running ahead of everyone. And that's almost undeniable. I say almost because there are people who will still argue it. But if you lived in America in January of this year, you'd be in a country that was on the up. And even now, even post-COVID, lots of the jobs are coming back. The economy is getting back to full flight. The only places it isn't is in places that are run by Democrats where they don't want to open because they don't want to give Trump an advantage going into the election. So they're telling people it's really bad. And, you know, then there's the change vote that comes in. But we'll see what happens. It's very interesting. I mean, I'm just curious to see what entertainment value comes out of this debate.
So do President Trump's recent comments sway you any other way or concern you in any way, Gareth, when he was speaking about the voting and the legitimacy of the voting and the tally of the votes?
Look, I think you're talking about how he said that he's going to stay in office regardless of the election results. Now, he didn't actually say that. Okay, so let's be very clear. All he's saying is that he says this mail-in voting is not legitimate. And he says that there's a lot of skullduggery that can come into mail-in voting, which makes sense. You know, mail-in votes is basically they will send ballot papers to every house in a certain area. Now, imagine how that could be abused. Even if 5% of it is an abuse. You know, sometimes these elections are very close. And what happens is that they do something called ballot harvesting. So the person who delivers that ballot paper to an address is a party agent. That would be like the ANC saying, we'll bring you your ballot paper, but only if you vote ANC. Do you understand? So, I mean, he's saying that is not the greatest way to run an election, which sounds to me like a fair enough thing to say. Hillary Clinton and everyone else is telling Joe, well, if Donald Trump wins on election night, do not concede. That's the same thing as Trump saying this mail-in voting is not legitimate and I'm not going to just vacate the office if Joe wins on mail-in votes. It's the same thing as Hillary saying, don't you dare cede victory to Donald Trump when she goes on TV. She did this publicly. This was during, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. But no one's reporting, Hillary says that Joe should not accept Donald Trump's victory. They don't go with that headline. They go, oh, Donald Trump is definitely not going to stand for Joe Biden winning. I mean, this is a first world democratic country. What do you think he's going to do? Just glue himself to the seat in the White House?
You know? And it's crazy
it's
that
it's hysteria.
With Kamala Harris,
yeah,
and watching how she's navigating all of this. Yes, I do think that she has her eyes on the prize and, you know, it's her party and Joe just happens to be invited. But
yeah,
this past Friday, yeah, this past Friday, she was at an NAACP event.
Oh, yeah.
And,
you know, because she's the black woman, so she has to go and get that vote for them. She has to go and collect the black vote for Joe. So ridiculous.
Sorry if I seem a little too cynical in all of this, but I'm certain this was something their team all sat around and discussed and they vetted the questions. And so one of the questions she was asked was, who's your favorite rapper? Because, of course, if you talk about your rapper, yo, yo, yo.
But didn't she embarrass herself a long time ago by talking about how she was a Tupac fan?
And then she brings it up again this past Friday.
No, but hold on. She said she was a Tupac fan when she was back at university, right? When she was in college, she used to listen to Tupac and Snoop. That was what she said in an interview. And then they found out, like, she was at Varsity long before Tupac was even on the scene. So she was just bullshitting. She was, like, trying to make it up to sound cool.
The calculations just didn't work. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Stupid.
So now one of the things she was asked on Friday was, who's your most favorite rapper alive right now?
Right.
And she goes, Tupac.
Oh,
oh no.
Jesus. I mean, who doesn't know Tupac Shakur is dead? Who doesn't know that?
And then this host actually was trying to help her.
They all have to help. No, it's not just. Say, no. Oh, that's so embarrassing. I mean, really.
Tupac has been dead for more than two decades.
Like, you don't even have to be a rap fan to know that.
And so then Kamala says, well, for us California girls, Tupac lives on.
Oh, no.
What an embarrassment. What a disgrace. Really.
So in other words, she hasn't listened to anything since.
She doesn't listen to rap. She's a total nerd.
She probably doesn't
please,
know.
She doesn't listen to rap. Just go online and watch any interview she's done in the last 3 months. In fact, since she was nominated VP, all she does is sit there and go, every question, she laughs like a maniac. It's ridiculous.
Oy.
Anyway. All right, let's get into some headlines. Let's see what's happening in the world. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Y'all ready for this? All right. Listen to this. This is an amazing story. Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kinnear, who's a detective who was assassinated in front of his house in Cape Town on the 18th of September. Remember that story?
Oh, yes.
He was allegedly on the brink of cracking a huge case, according to a media report. The case was about a guns to gangs syndicate who involved the police's central firearms registry. So he was about to reveal one of the ways that these gangsters are getting all their guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to the Sunday Times, the investigation by Kinnear, who had defeated many other detectives, was a threat to the criminal underworld and a corrupt police network. The newspaper quoted two different experts monitoring the influx of firearms that are flooding into the underground world. According to the report, the possibility of a link between Kinnear's assassination and the CFR investigation quickly became the main line of inquiry for detectives who are trying to solve their colleague's murder. Well, I hope they do solve this, because then we can not only find out who's responsible for killing this man in cold blood outside his house, but we can also find out how the gangsters are getting their firearms from the police.
Jeez, man.
Scary, right? So that's happening. EWN reporting this morning that there are Pinetown murders that they're trying to solve. You know, in KwaZulu-Natal, police are investigating five counts of murder and attempted murder after five people were shot dead in Pinetown. Officers described Saturday night's attack as an execution-style massacre. The group came under a hail of bullets after three gunmen ordered them to exit a car that they were in. Authorities say one person was admitted to hospital in a critical condition. The motive is unknown at this stage. Very strange, very bizarre. That's in Pinetown in KZN. What'd you think of that? ENCA reporting this morning that more suspects have been arrested. It's all murder and mayhem in the news this morning.
Jeez, man. People are out on the streets. They've been busy.
No. This weekend was clearly a good time to be a criminal. But more suspects have been arrested for 56 million rand in car markings. Apparently, this is in connection with a tender fraud case. They include a senior member of the South African police and an administrative employee working in supply chain. Police arrested three civilians, two of whom were initially arrested in June and released on 5,000 rand bail. They've now been rearrested after authorities found that they lied under oath about not having previous convictions. They will all appear in court on Monday, that's today, on charges including fraud, corruption, money laundering, and perjury. So far, 41 people have been arrested in the vehicle branding case. So what happened was that the government gave 56 million rand in tender money to do the marking of vehicles, police vehicles and, you know, government vehicles and so on. You know where they have branding on them?
Yeah, the signage.
I mean, 56 million rand. Do you know how much branding you can do for that? Anyway, these guys, apparently, these 41 people who are all involved, all got a slice of that pie. And I don't think any of the vehicles ended up being marked or branded. It's ridiculous, right?
It's sickening.
Then the BBC are saying this morning that voters have rejected to end free movement with the EU. This is interesting. Swiss voters have rejected a proposal to end an accord with the EU, allowing the free movement of people. 62% said they wanted to keep free movement. Only 38% were against. Now, Switzerland is not a member of the EU. A lot of people don't know that. But they have a series of independent treaties with Brussels that allow them access to Europe's free trade area. So the move to rein in immigration was proposed by the Swiss People's Party, but opposed by the government. A similar initiative to introduce quotas on immigrants from the EU to Switzerland narrowly passed, damaging Swiss-EU relations. So essentially, if you land, like when I was in France last year, you just drive straight through the border with Switzerland. You don't have to stop. Nobody's checking you. Sometimes you have to pay a toll if there's a gate there, but otherwise you just drive through. So if you want to go into Switzerland from any other part of Europe, you just go. And similarly, from Switzerland out. So they've decided they're going to keep it that way. Because why would they not? I mean, it seems to work for them. But of course, all of this is bound up in, you know, the discussion around immigrants and where immigrants to Europe are going. It's amazing how many people want to get into Europe. Donald Trump has demanded that Joe Biden take a drug test before or after the debate on Tuesday. I think that's so funny. I mean, that is so funny. You see? He says, I will strongly, this is a direct quote, I'm not making this up. I will strongly be demanding a drug test of sleepy Joe Biden prior to or after the debate on Tuesday night.
But, I mean, a drug test, he's going to be on certain medications, as is Trump.
Yeah, well, Trump says, I will naturally take one also. His debate performances have been record-setting, uneven, to put it mildly. Only drugs could have caused this discrepancy.
Oh, my Lord.
I think they should. I think they should take a drug test.
So what are they going to test for? LSD, marijuana, cocaine?
Cocaine. Anything that will enhance your performance, maybe like one of those.
Well, then definitely not LSD. Or
one of those smart drugs, you know, like like a Ritalin or a Concerta or something like that. It makes you focus. So he's going to take. Donald says if Joe takes a drug test, so will he. But he reckons that he's going to demand it. I think it would
and
be
by
so
the way,
great.
If you
Please
have Ritalin
do it.
Or, if you have Ritalin or Concerta in your system, it's not a big deal. It's a widely used medication.
Yeah, sure, but at least people need to know. I think it's important that the leader of the free world is not on any kind of performance-enhancing drugs that would disqualify him from, let's say, an Olympic event. Not that either of these two are going to be taking part in the Olympics, but you get the idea.
Good point.
I mean, don't you think that's a good idea?
But as normal as it is for us in society, it will not be like that for President
Correct.
Trump. He, of course, will use it against him.
Of course. And he should. I think that's really cool. I think they should both do it. Good idea.
I just can't believe we've reached this point.
Check Kamala Harris for whether or not she's ever listened to rap music. Should test her. Play like a Tupac song and see if she can even dance. Seriously.
No. Don't get the New York. Was it the New Yorker or the New York Magazine?
Yeah.
That was the one that did the big article, one of the big articles on her wearing Timberlands and, you know, of course that shows.
Yes, I saw that. Like, no, she's wearing Timberland shoes, so she must be like, she's pure, you know. She's street.
She's street, yeah.
Oh, please do me a favor. It's unbelievable how, like,
it's sit comfortably for the next 4 years.
Well, not even the next 4 years, because I really think a lot of this stuff will just disappear after the elections, because people are just going to be like, okay, enough now, really. This whole thing was about you winning the elections. Let's just move on now. It's time for us to grow up. Well, you can only hold thumbs.
Look at how intense things have gotten in the world over the Trump administration. I don't think at all they're going to simmer down if you were to get into the White House.
You're probably right, but I'm allowed to dream.
Okay.
Let me have my fun.
I don't know. It's just a mess, and I'm glad I don't have to make the decision between the two. Because I would probably spoil my vote.
Yeah.
You see, now, for me, that is what I think is a massive missing link in all of these conversations that have been happening. Lest we forget, if I'm not mistaken, the big issue in the previous election was partly the fact that there are a lot of people who didn't even vote.
Yeah, that's correct.
So it's not about a he said or they said and pitting one against the other. What are they doing about getting these people who haven't voted to vote? That's the issue, in my opinion.
Well, one of the things we do know that you need at this time is probably a little bit of investment advice. And by no means are we saying that this is an advisory part of the show, but we're going to tell you about what's going on in the world economy. And the guy who we rely on to do this for us is Sean Saunders. He is the CEO and co-founder of Revix. And it is time for you to take a look at what investments would benefit you most at a time like this. Because if there's anything we know for sure, it's that things are a little unstable right now. It's been a year of COVID, so a lot of people have lost an enormous amount of money, but a lot of people have made money during this time. And Sean Saunders is here to help us understand how all of that works. The world is changing. Your investments should too. If they aren't, you need to ask yourself why. In a market that we've never seen before, don't guess, diversify. Revix is an intelligent investment platform that allows anyone, including me or you, anywhere to build a diversified portfolio or a bundle of assets in just a few clicks. So, Sean, first of all, good to see you again, man.
Good to see you too, Gareth. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Very, very good. I like your Revix hoodie you've got on there. That's excellent branding.
Yeah.
All right.
There's actually a Revix t-shirt, Revix underwear, you know.
Oh, you got Revix underwear as well.
I was joking, underwear.
Jesus, let's not go there.
All right.
This is a PG-13 show, Sean.
No, really.
Hey, just saying that we're moving into products next.
Yeah, what PG-13?
If there was Revix underwear, I'd want mine to say Revixen.
All right, let's talk about gold quickly because, we've been talking about this a couple of times. And the last time we had you on, we were talking about how this year has been an amazing year for gold. Does that continue to be the story? What's happening in the markets at the moment?
Yeah, so gold's pulled back. It went up to an all-time high of about $2,070. Yeah. And since then, it's pulled back to $1,880 today. And it's quite interesting. It's been a bit of a journey with gold, but I mean, we're still up whatever 25% year over year in dollar terms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, gold is viewed as the safe haven asset. So you've got a lot of uncertainty going into this US election. I mean, hell, just with COVID, there's loads of uncertainty around the world. And Warren Buffett once said that gold's a way of going long on fear. And what that really means is that if you believe that people are going to be more fearful in the future, then the value of gold could move up. Now, gold's the earliest form of currency.
Yeah.
And I mean, sure, we had like shells and salt and a whole bunch of other interesting things. But gold kind of really kickstarted this monetary system that we have today.
Just explain, I don't think a lot of people understand that salt used to be currency.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. We've used a whole bunch of really interesting things over time. And it was really only the invent of metals that allowed you to sort of, you know, move from this bartering system of sorts into more of this monetary system that we have today. And fractional reserve banking is a brand new thing where you can essentially, you know, have fiat currencies and all the rest. But I mean, that's another whole long show that we can do another time, I suppose. But it's actually, it's gold's physical properties in that it's scarce. And I think, Gareth, you'll appreciate some of these things. I mean, you know these things probably even better than I do. But, you know, gold is scarce. It's malleable. It's beautiful. It's non-corrosive. And this has resulted in it being a reliable store of value over time. And it means that it holds its value when other assets become less valuable over a longer period of time.
Right.
And all of these properties kind of come together and it creates this incredible gold for demand, gold demand.
Yes.
And that's why it's so valuable today. And this is how all assets are priced, really. You know, you've got demand versus supply, a willing buyer, a willing seller. And to kind of sort of, you know, answer this question around, you know, why is gold viewed as a safe haven asset? It's because of its physical properties. It makes it desirable and people turn to it in times of crisis. And then this sort of becomes the de facto sort of situation where people turn to this asset in times of crisis. And that means that in the future, when the prices of other things are increasing due to inflation and other factors, you know, holding gold would also increase. And that's really the investment case here.
Well, okay. I mean, when people think of holding gold, you don't actually need to have a safe in your house with like a bar of gold in it, right? I mean, nobody has that. You're not allowed to.
Well, I suppose some people, they go the full nine yards and they do that. But no, I mean, you can invest in gold companies. Uh-huh. The problem with investing in gold companies is that you're exposed to all the underlying operational activities of that business. So if the investor, if the management go and, you know, make some silly decisions, you are exposed to that. You can invest in Kruger Rands, but then you've got the issues of custody and ownership around that. And I mean, owning physical gold in South Africa, I think it's a very high risk sort of play. I mean, hell, even owning gold internationally, it's not exactly that straightforward either. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've kind of brought about something called Pax Gold, which is a tokenized digital gold token, way to hold gold. People get a little bit caught up on the tokenized side of things. But what it means is that you have direct legal ownership of gold, and its value is directly tied to the gold market. And I'll say this again, it provides legal ownership right to a portion of a gold bar. And it's just like buying a share of a company where you have the legal right that comes with the ownership, but you don't physically hold the company.
No.
And yeah, essentially we launched this just before COVID started, and you can invest with as little as 500 Rand. And this allows you to own one portion. It's exactly one fine troy ounce of a gold bar. You know, there's 400 ounces to one gold bar, and therefore there's 400 Pax gold tokens for each gold bar.
Right.
And the serial number, and this is me just geeking out a little bit, but the serial number on each digital token can be matched to that of a specific gold bar. And that's sort of just, you know, how you go back.
So if I buy, let's say I buy some Pax gold, where is my actual gold stored? Where is it kept?
So these gold bars are stored in high security, fully insured vaults in London. Brings vault. They are the oldest and the most well-known vaults in the world. And we don't look after the gold.
No.
And I'd love to say Revex has got a team of security experts sitting in London looking after the gold. But no, there's a company called Paxos, which is a regulated New York trust company. And they look after the gold. And they make sure that as a trust company, that the gold that is sitting inside a vault, inside the vault is matched to the tokens that you own.
That is so cool.
So will it ever reach, like a threshold where all the gold is spoken for in terms of part ownership?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And how much is available at the moment?
So you know that they
start buying.
They say that if they had to get all the gold in the world together, and remember, there's still some that is underground, but there's only a limited amount of gold, as Sean said earlier, in the world. And once that gold you remember the old alchemists, Leanne?
I do.
The alchemists preceded the chemists, and they used to try to make gold. They used to use something called the Philosopher's Stone, right? Which was, I mean, it's now a Harry Potter book. But the reality is these guys would do anything they could to transform other things into gold, because there's only so much gold in the world. And of course, it's always been valuable. And as Sean says, it doesn't decay or corrode. It's a very, very resistant metal, which is why you can dig up a ring from 3,000 years ago, and if it was made out of solid gold, it's still solid gold now. You know, it doesn't get eaten up by acids or deteriorate or rust like a lot of other metals. So it's really interesting. And they say that if you had to gather up all the gold in the world, you'd be able to make a square cube probably about, I think it's something like 12 by 12 meters or something like that. It's not a lot. So we will eventually...
It's two Olympic-sized swimming pools that could be filled up with gold, essentially.
Okay, sorry. My measurements were incorrect, but that's what I remember reading a long time ago. The fact is, though, that you guys have got some of this gold, and it's available now, and you could buy a piece of it. But all that will happen is the value will go up because there is only so much gold.
I mean, Leanne, to answer your question, Paxos issues these gold tokens, and then it's sort of like an IPO where the stock is out in the market. And what we do essentially is allow people to buy and sell this. So it's on a secondary market. And therefore, you know, the gold's already been issued. There's only so many tokens and there's only so many gold bars that enable, you know, tokens to be issued according to. So yeah, it's already out in the market. There is no limit. As I mentioned, there's a willing buyer and a willing seller that determines the price. Mm-hmm. So there's somebody else out there that maybe is trading in gold and decides that they want to sell out of a token, and we'll connect that individual with somebody else that maybe wants to buy into this token. Mm.
All right. So we've only really discussed gold today, but we can talk about some of the other things that you're doing in a short while. We're going to be talking to you every now and then. It's sort of around the end of the month, I believe, for a couple of weeks. So this is going to be good. If you want to send us questions for Sean, you could do that too, and we'll get him to answer them. I know lots of people want to ask things, and maybe you've got some very particular and peculiar questions you want to have answered. You can get hold of us. Just send it to me, gareth@cliffcentral.com, and I'll make sure that Sean gets it. Right.
Brilliant.
Anything else you want to throw in there, dude?
Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, you mentioned, you know, gold's able to stick around for a long time because of its physical properties.
Yeah.
Gold's actually got its own sort of inflation rate, if you want to call it that, where there's an increase in the total gold supply of 2% per year, which is quite interesting. If you compare that to the amount of money that's increasing, and I've said this on your show so many times before, that if you look at how much money is being printed, I mean, I think this year alone, there's been a 44% increase in total global monetary supply. Now, if you think about the inflationary effects a little bit later down the line, and this is something that I'll mention and I have mentioned on your show, I'm going to continue to mention it going forward. You don't look at an investment opportunity right now. You obviously have to evaluate it and whatnot, but you look at what it's going to be doing in a year or two or three or 4 years time if you're a real long-term investor. Mm-hmm. And there is this incredible opportunity, and this is not financial advice, so please do your own research. But if you look out in the future, the one asset that's done exceptionally well when there's been this insane monetary, you know, change and stimulus that's out in the economy is gold. And
well, I looked at a chart now of 10 years of the South African rand and gold, and it just rockets up, even though, as you say, it's pulled back a little bit now. It's still right up there compared to where it was 10 years ago. And I mean, 10 years, you know, we think about that as a long time. But if you think that it was 2010, 10 years ago, the World Cup was here, that doesn't feel like it was so long ago.
No, you blinked and the time has passed.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah, no.
All right, Sean.
Investing is extraordinary. So, well, no, thank you. Thanks,
dude. Very good. You can follow Revix at Revix Invest on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and find out more. You can also go there and sign up to Revix for free. You verify your ID. You add funds, you select the bundle of your choice, and you can find out more by emailing them directly. You can go to revix.com, or you can send us a question and we'll put it to Sean next time he's on. Thanks, Sanders. Nice to see you.
Brilliant, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good rest of the day.
Very good. All right, Leanne, now you've learned all about gold this morning. That was something you didn't know you were going to learn, right?
Definitely. No, it's fascinating.
Very exciting. So it's not just there to look pretty on a ring, although that's also, you know, a kind of investment.
It also answers Mulelo's question on Friday. He asked us seriously, like, what is the big deal with jewelry?
Yeah.
And this kind of explains it a bit. It's owning a tiny piece of the limited amount of gold in the world.
You're essentially you're making an investment in a person when you buy them jewelry, right? You're saying to them, I'm buying you something permanent that will hopefully last for a very long time. And if you think about heirlooms and that kind of thing, you know, stuff that mothers and fathers leave to their children and grandparents leave to their great-grandchildren and so on, those are the kinds of things that I suppose people need. They need to be valuable intrinsically, And jewelry has always been one of those things. Pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got a full week this week, which is going to be so annoying because last week was only like 3 days. So people are going to be back at work and feeling sorry for themselves this week, and we will hopefully make that a little bit better.
Is that just the general tone? People feeling sorry for themselves?
You know what people are like. You know, after you've had a holiday, you're like, oh, I'm going to go back to work. And I was actually having this conversation with somebody over the weekend. And I feel like, you know, I was driving on the highway on the way back from Durban yesterday, and I just saw all these truck drivers. Now, if you have a job that's better than a truck driver's, you really should be happy about that. That's a hard job. You think about these people. They hop into a huge, monstrous piece of machinery, which can do untold damage, right? And you've got valuable cargo in it as well. And then you have to drive all the way to a place like Cape Town or Durban from Joburg, and then you have to get back again, and you have to stay overnight in places like Colesberg. Can you imagine how hard that job is? That is not a fun way to spend your time. I was just thinking about them going, you know, they're people like the people who work in the toll booths. Imagine you sit in that little
box. That would be a little exciting to me.
Oh, see, how? How is it exciting? You don't even look at people.
30-second conversations with like 100 people a day.
Oh, you'd
but
be
you don't even
exhausted.
Anymore if you have some sort of e-tag.
Yeah, mostly you can just swipe your own card, but... No, Sia, that's not fun. And think about it. No one's thrilled to see you in your little toll booth, and you're sitting in there the whole time, and you know you're breathing in fumes and farts.
It's like people watching. I want to see like what snacks are people eating, how many crying babies are there.
Oh no!
Who's you know what sort of music are they listening to on their road trip? It's fascinating to me.
Sia, for one day, and then.
And nobody's going to want to talk to you.
No one's talking to
you. Guy in the
no.
The cars are going past you and your window is steaming up as you go, hello.
No, I would be, my booth would be the most popular. I always, in some random.
Because when you get there, they've got a picture of all the people in the booths and you can choose which one looks the friendliest for you to talk to.
In my most random thoughts sometimes, I think like I would love to be a shoe salesman because I think I'd have great conversations with people and I'm advising them on what to buy and I'm like fitting things on the eye. You see?
You know what this reminds me of? One of those episodes of Modern Family where Phil and Jay hired a parking attendant.
Yeah.
And she was so vivacious and such a conversationalist. And she knew exactly what was going on in every person who came in their lives. And she'd say, how is Johnny doing at school? And, how, you know, all of those sorts of things.
That would be me.
See, people just love that.
Hey, Tom, the truck driver. See you next week when you come back from Cape Town.
I got to tell you, I admire the fact that you would find joy in a job like that. Because some people clearly do. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to do it. They'd go crazy, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm not one of those people. I would hate to be stuck in one of those toll booths. It must be soul-destroying. Just soul-destroying and terrible. And depressing, frankly. I mean, you're basically living on a highway. That's a horrible place.
Those people already live close to those highways.
For what? Like 6 to 8 hours a day at least? No. That can't be good. And remember, people are breezing. They want to get through quickly. They don't actually want to have a conversation with you.
You know what I think would be worse is working behind a desk in a government department like a home affairs or
you're offline.
Licensing department.
Well, a lot of those people haven't even been working this year. You know, a lot of them haven't even opened up. I know people who can't get passports and things right now because home affairs is just not very fast at the moment, if at all. If it all opened.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, imagine. Anyway, lots of other things that we've got to get into, and we'll do all of that next. This is cliffcentral.com. You can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. I promise I haven't been ignoring the messages. We will get to them in the next hour, and we want to hear from you. We'll see what you're up to. We'll also check in on somebody we spoke to in March. Her name is Gina Luzzatto. She is a Gareth Cliff Show listener in Rome. And remember we spoke to her. She was stuck in that apartment on her own. and she was going crazy because Italy had a very strict lockdown in the beginning. Remember that? Mm. So we'll find out from her what's going on. That's very cool. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Make sure you keep it here, and we will keep you entertained on your Monday morning. CliffCentral.com